All right. Welcome, 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 everyone, to what month is it? It's June 2023, I believe, still. You're here for LHON Live, our monthly conference call for everyone in the LHON community, those who are affected, friends, family members, anyone who is interested in this community at all with any topic in particular. As you know from your monthly LHON emails, we have lots of very specific calls with lots of very specific topics and or audiences in mind. This is your oldest running LHON call, but more importantly than that, it's the one where we talk about whatever we want to. So with that in mind, we tend to try and capture topics from you all, and we'll spend the majority of our time talking about a crowdsourced topic earlier today on the call. But before we get to that, wanted to give you all a little background. My name's Andy Marks. For any new folks here, here with my co-host Jessica Loomer. You there, Jess?
Hi.
As it becomes relevant later in the call, I'm calling from New Jersey and Jess is there in Denver. Jess and I had the pleasure of meeting, just to give you all a little background for any new folks, way back in 2014, this month, actually. So 9 years ago in a couple weeks, which is pretty wild, Jess, at what was the first LHON conference for both of us. And we quickly realized how beneficial it was to connect with other folks in this community, how while in our day-to-day lives, we lived such a unique experience, how common and consistent a lot of the aspects of our lives were with other folks affected by LHON. And we wanted to be able to tap into that unique benefit of being able to connect with other folks who were a part of this community more often than once a year at those LHON conferences. So back in August of 2014, we began hosting these monthly conference calls. As you've heard me say before in the past, they've been through a series of different chapters where we had guest speakers and we had topics that we spoke about every month that were very pre-planned. These days, we try and source topics from any of you all. You're welcome to send us topics anytime you want, but we also try and save the majority of the call for any free topics and conversation that may be on your minds. With that, Jess, before we get into things, I should call out here at the top, just in case folks do happen to leave. Looking ahead to next month, as I mentioned, we host these conference calls once a month, typically the first Wednesday of every month at 8 p.m. So here on the East Coast, 5 p.m. Pacific in the U.S. at least. Next month, given the fact that the first Wednesday will be the 5th of July and both Jess and I will be unavailable, unless folks would like to usurp the two of us and host a call without us, both of us being unavailable, we will be pushing the call to July 12th. So it'll actually be the second Wednesday of the month next month. We tend to try and push it out instead of bringing it forward whenever we can, just in case folks call in early, they are early instead of late. So I wanted to go ahead and say that here at the top of the call in case folks drop between now and then. You'll also see it in emails. Lissa, I'm assuming that's all okay with you, but let us know if it's not. Jess, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Yeah, I was, as we were kind of going through that, I was quickly trying to like scan the LHON calendar. But other than that, I'm doing wonderful. Lots and lots of rain over here. I'm not going to brag, but I'm currently bragging right now. Lots of rain over here in Denver. So we have a very wet spring. So it's caused a lot of water, which has caused water damage for me in my house. But for, I think the rest of the places where that are well insulated probably means a lot of really great weather, great flowers. And it is very green around here. So pretty exciting stuff. And I am, I don't know if anyone's as excited as I am, maybe Maria, for conference. I think I've started packing. So getting kind of geared up for all those things. So what about you, Andy? How are you?
I'm good. I am, and we will chat some about the conference here as well. I'm quite bummed that I'm not able to make it to the conference this year, given the nature of some obligations I have elsewhere. My mom will actually be there since it's in her hometown. So I'm excited to hear from her and also all of you all about how the conference goes. As I already said, those are great opportunities for any folks who may be attending their first conference and or considering attending their first conference. They're just really unique experiences. I mean, just in the same way that the lives we lead are so unique, meeting folks who have that in common. It's kind of like meeting a sibling you know exists. And I can say that because my wife has a couple half sisters she never really knew until she was an adult. And I would say meeting them is very similar to going to LHON conference and realizing the similarities you have with these folks. And it's a really, really fun thing. So I look forward to hearing from all of you on July 12th, which gives you all an extra week to decompress and gather your thoughts before we connect. I'm jealous of your rain though, Jessica, and how green it is because it is very orange out here. By around 2 o'clock, it was super, super dark outside. I don't know if we want to go ahead and shift right into it. Should I transition here, Jessica?
Let's pause and I want to throw it to Maria for 2 seconds on conference before we shift.
Yeah.
If you don't mind.
Yeah, please.
Maria, okay. Any conference updates to jump us into?
We are close. We are really, really close. We are like three-ish weeks away. For those of you who've heard me talk about this on many of the LHON live calls and also many of the regional calls, but I'll go into it really quickly again in case some of you don't remember, haven't heard about it. It is not too late to attend our conference. First and foremost, it's not too late. You can show up the day of the conference and register then and there if you want to. The conference this year is going to be June 29th through July 1st. That's a Thursday through a Saturday in Charlotte, North Carolina, as Andy said. It's going to be held at the Sheraton Charlotte Le Méridien Hotel Complex. The conference actually starts at 3 p.m. on Thursday, so a lot of folks are making plans to come on in on Thursday morning, some people on Wednesday if you want to do a little sightseeing. And then most folks stay overnight on Saturday because after the conference ends at around 4 o'clock, 4:30 on Saturday, we tend to all kind of gather and decompress and just hang out with each other. That's just as simple as I can put it. We just hang out and we like to spend every last possible minute together because as Andy said, this is our time to connect and reconnect with old and new friends that we may have met at past conferences, but new friends that may just be at the conference for the first time. And typically folks leave on Sunday, but not a big deal if you have to leave Saturday night. Thursday is really just a big kickoff event with a mixer that evening. We have our own room for our own LHON mixer. So it's just going to be the LHON families and loved ones and friends. So, which makes it really nice just to get to know the people there for our conference. And then we have a full day of sessions on Friday. And then we have a banquet that evening. And then we have a full day of sessions on Saturday. And so the agenda is up and you can view it in its current state. Keep in mind, sessions, events, and times can change up to the day of, so keep that in mind. You can find all the links you need for registration, hotel location, a recording of an overview of what to expect at the conference that we did last month is linked there. And also, like I said, a link to the current LHON agenda as it stands right this second is also ready for viewing. And that's at lhon.org under the conference tab. And all the information, the key information you need is there. I did just post a reminder that it's almost time in the global group today. Feel free to comment, tag me if you can. To ask any questions or anything you want to know about conference on that post, I'll be doing a few more into the evening and into tomorrow and other groups. But we're happy to answer any questions or clarify anything if you need it. So there's my 6 minutes, and I hope to see many of you on the call are going to be there already. We're super excited to see you. We have about 120 plus people ish coming. So we have a big crowd and pandemic's over. People are coming out of the woodwork and we can't be more thrilled about it. So, but there's always room for more because the more the merrier. So if you could still work in the plans at the end of the month, please try to. Yeah, we'd love to have you.
Maria, thank you so much. I do want to make sure if there are any pressing questions, but as Maria said, if you have questions outside of this call, they can either be posted in the group, email it to folks. You can find Maria in the Facebook group and many of us in the Facebook group, whether we're going to the conference or not. Many of us have been to the conferences before. If you have questions and anyone here can help out, or you have connections with folks who've already been before, I know lots of folks would be happy to answer your questions. But as it pertains to logistics for this conference, Maria Hayes Johnson is your great contact there through Facebook. So, Jess, anything else there you wanted to make sure we had time for?
Nope. I think, yeah, let's roll. Thank you.
So the one major thing we wanted to make sure, or kind of we were asked to discuss tonight, is a new topic. It's not surprising to anyone else here that we don't plan these calls weeks and even days ahead of time. So the one thing we're here to talk about for the most part tonight is something that's come up over the past 36 to 48 hours, and that's the smoke we're dealing with here in the East Coast of the U.S. and frankly, the eastern part of Canada as well. And this is something that's very new for folks on the eastern part of the U.S. I know, frankly, a lot of the folks that I know on the western part of the United States are on the call tonight. So something we want to do is to be able to glean a lot of information and education from folks who are more accustomed to dealing with this, but also to be able to talk about this in the context of what it means as someone who maybe carries an LHON gene, maybe has been affected recently or affected maybe even a longer time ago, with all three of those audiences, but also other individuals, maybe folks who don't have an LHON gene that are in our lives, and how we would recommend dealing with those types of things. I know there are apps and things of those nature that I want to say even the California LHON call last year did a similar call where a lot of what they spoke about was how to deal with wildfires, and especially given the proven as much as any trigger has been proven, that smoke may be a potential trigger for LHON for folks who are carriers. So with that, Jessica, as a more of a Western United States friend of mine, I'll turn it over to you to kind of talk through your experiences with smoke ever since you've had LHON, and we can talk through the experience here. Obviously, I'm close to the New York City area, and we're going through it pretty bad right now, but happy to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, gosh, my experience and kind of how situation here in Denver is pretty easy. So definitely feeling for you guys all on the East Coast with all the smoke. Last year, I think it was the West Coast, so it's sharing the slipping coast, but smoke is a really big deal to me. I take it really seriously. Whether it's cigarette smoke or smoke from a grill or a smoker, or obviously like things that we really can't do much about with like wildfires and things like that. They're definitely something to take seriously. I honestly check my weather app on a daily basis before I go out for a walk with my dog. And I always check the weather and what the temperature is, since it changes all the time here in Denver. And I check the air quality every single time. So I'm always kind of keeping an eye on both of those things. Yesterday, my mom called me and there was actually a house on fire in the neighborhood next to hers. And I was like, run inside, turn on your air purifier and sit next to it. Because that's how concerned I am with smoke and just kind of what I believe is could be the impacts. So really scary. I think one of the best resources that other out there that I actually got from Patrick Doolittle, if he's on this call, is purpleair.gov. Now I'm forgetting it off the top of my head.
Dot com.
Thank you. And that's just been a really great resource. I actually have it bookmarked on my cell phone as an app on my home screen. So don't obviously type that in every single day. But so that's something that I use as a reference, and it's super important. So I think that's great. But obviously, like, this is a great topic for us to crowdsource and kind of share through different smoke and kind of what we believe in and how we track that to kind of make sure that I believe all of us stay safe. My mom, for reference, that I told to run inside and sit next to an air purifier, because she said she could smell it inside her house, which is how close the fire was of the house fire, which is awful. She is a carrier and so not affected. So, but Andy, how are you handling all the smoke over there?
Yeah, I'm doing well. I have more questions than I have answers for this. I mean, obviously the smoke is pretty treacherous here. When I left work yesterday, I was shocked how it felt like it was very reminiscent of being right next to or your head over a bonfire just the entire way home. And today, as I sat inside my house looking out the windows, it looked like night most of the day, and it was orange and what would have been a beautiful sunset color, but it was that color all day throughout the entire sky, which is not what you're aiming for. And so it's new to me. I've never experienced anything like this before way. And
hey guys, it's Megan. Sorry, I thought it was like a timely time to jump in a little bit, but so I'm in Jersey and I was in California during the campfires, and this is a huge reminder to me of what happened at that point in time. So I've been having a little bit of a hard time because that was right before I was affected. I would just say stay inside if at all possible to anyone that's affected or a carrier. I know the carriers are more to be worried about, but very, very, very similar and very scary just to me as being affected quickly after that, those fires. So not to be dramatic, but yeah, that's kind of what I have to say about that.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. Can you hear me, Megan and Jess?
Yep.
Okay.
And Megan, no, it's not being dramatic. It's being realistic and helpful for everybody else.
Right.
Yeah, I think
it's something we should all take very seriously. And I mean, I think that's what we're aiming to do here. Obviously, it's weird in the way Jessica kind of highlighted. There are things like bonfires and grills and smokers that are easier to kind of step 100 yards away from. And some of this stuff is very difficult to deal with. I mean, I'm sitting here asking my wife to do the dog walking and stuff over the next 24 to 36 hours. But at the same time, like, it's tough to ask anyone to go out there, despite whether they're an LHON carrier or not. This is, I mean, our whatever air quality indexes were north of 420 today. And while I didn't know what that meant before today, I know those numbers a little bit better. And I'm excited to know these websites to be checking and what to be paying attention to there. Jess, another question I have specific to some of the information you shared about air purifiers, you shared about the website. Are there things within air purifiers that you look for that are important to folks who have to use them more often than maybe some of us do? I've had air purifiers at different times in my life, but are there specific things we should be looking for to have?
I personally, and like no medical advice here, that I'm just, this is my just personal standpoint, is I always look for HEPA, just because that does, obviously that's probably one of the highest you can get. And I actually put it, and I really pay attention to the square footage that HEPA filter can manage. Just knowing what room I'm going to put that in, and I have it in quite a bit of, I have it in a lot of rooms. So I think that's really helpful too.
So you have several different air purifiers in different rooms across your home.
Yeah. Just to kind of make sure I'm hitting that square footage.
Right.
I think that's kind of like a blanket. People just kind of are like, yep, I just throw it in the room and all that. But no, I mean, I have one in my bedroom just because that honestly is really helpful. So something to consider too.
Is this a silly question? But I mean, since most of us are already affected, I feel like we are less worrisome than those that are carriers that are being exposed to this.
It's funny that you say that, Megan. I mean, I don't think it's a silly question at all. I think that rationally, and Lissa, I'm going to ask for you to maybe do some talking now. While I didn't give my usual caveat here, which is that we are not medical advisors or health advisors or anything like that here. I think a lot of what the research would say, and I'm speaking, this is coming from Andy Marks and only Andy Marks, is that yes, smoke stands a greater risk of causing your LHON to be triggered and trigger vision loss specifically. And yet I think a lot of folks, and I'm not trying to generalize any more than to answer your question, I think a lot of folks who have started to lose some vision, Megan, are probably more careful because they recognize how valuable that vision is. And I know other folks who are maybe carriers who are less careful. And I'm speaking about other potential risk factors, whether it be smoking or drinking or whatever it could be, binge drinking, I mean specifically, that are probably less careful prior to having their vision loss triggered than they are after having it triggered in some way, and they become very, they are holding on tightly to the vision they currently have. So I think different people may answer this question differently. While it may make sense in the way you described it, that those who have already had their vision loss triggered to maybe be a little, as you put it, I think less careful, but I think the case could be made either way. The vision I had, the remaining vision I have left is the most important vision I've ever had in my mind.
Andy, I would just add on to that, that yeah, with all the caveats that none of us are doctors and so forth, we did invite Dr. Karanja to join our California Southwest group on a call back in November 2020. And I'm kind of looking over my notes to do the best I can to communicate some of the things he suggested at the time. And, you know, he did agree with what Jessica said, that when there's, you know, a situation with smoke in the outdoor environment, staying indoors with the windows closed, using an air purifier with a HEPA filter does make sense. He also said that, yes, if people are affected already, you still want to protect the optic nerve fibers that you still have. So everyone with an LH1 mutation would be wise to do what they can to not ingest the smoke. And I think everyone's first thought is, oh, I don't want to get the smoke in my eyes, because we equate LHON to the eye, but it's not the eye. It's not the particulate matter. It's not the AQI index specifically. It's ingesting it. It's getting the toxins into the bloodstream. And our mitochondria, because we have a mutation and thus we're not processing toxins as well as a typical person would process them, you know, our mutated mitochondria are already struggling to process whatever's in the normal environment. And when we suddenly have a lot more to deal with, our less than optimally functioning mitochondria get overwhelmed. And thus, as a carrier, are more likely to kind of go over the edge and convert from carrier to affected. And then also can create extra problems for people who are affected. So I hope that helps.
I think it does. The one thing I want to call out there that you said there, Lissa, is that us as LHON carriers affected, all of us should be very conscious of this. And I would say, while we're reading in the news things that everyone should be conscious of, our threshold is just lower than everyone else's. So where other folks should pay attention to this at a certain point, we should be paying attention even prior to that. And when they pay attention, we should pay attention even more. Or there's reason for us to pay attention even more. Obviously, everyone gets to make their own personal decisions here. But that's the way I tend to think of it. Anything that other folks are kind of thinking about, we are an at-risk population, the way folks would describe, they tend to list children and the elderly and folks with any particular risk factors. We are among that group.
And one thing I did just want to say real importantly is this is a really real issue for a lot of people. People on this call and the loved ones of people on this call. And, you know, Megan, thank you for speaking up and being vulnerable, because I understand that there's a lot of, you know, PTSD on the topic. So thank you for being vulnerable, because it's a tough subject for a lot of people.
Thanks, Lissa.
No, and while we're not, we would never encourage anyone to share anything they're not comfortable with. Appreciate your vulnerability, Megan, and those folks who are willing to do that. This is a space where we welcome that, but would never want anyone to share anything they're not themselves comfortable with.
Andy, it's Chris Herbst.
Hey, Chris.
I found myself asking my phone all day long although I stayed inside the entire day, that was my intent. I couldn't help myself. I was checking the air quality level all day long. And I was asking the air quality level of where my daughter was living and my grandson. I couldn't help myself. And I'm sure that's what a lot of you were doing as well. It was just like an automatic thing. I was so concerned. And, you know, it would, there were some people where the levels said, you know, it was in the high 300s, and that just said it was hazardous. And then it would, some levels were very unhealthy, and some levels said it was unhealthy. And, but when the level was just over 100, it says it's unhealthy for groups with, you know, who are sensitive. And I think we should stress that even though it's just over 100, which doesn't seem very high in what's been happening today, we're still in that sensitive group. So even though that number seems kind of low today, with like right now outside here with me, it's like 299. And so 100 doesn't seem so bad, but even though it's 100, we're still in the sensitive group. And I need to throw disclaimers here, but I do remember I had an appointment with Dr. Sadoun, and he did talk to me about the healthy retinal ganglion cells you have, that we still have, that, you know, are on the perimeter. And he said, as I recall, you know, when you go out, for instance, in a toxic environment such as it is today, those healthy retinal ganglion cells that we still possess, those are what are vulnerable. And I think even though we're affected, we need to preserve the healthy retinal ganglion cells that we still have. And the question I have is, like, Lisa, you gave that great explanation. Do we absorb this through our like skin cells as well? I mean, I know we have mitochondria in our skin cells and all these other places. So through our hands and our skin, do we absorb the smoke that way as well, do you suppose?
This is Bo. My understanding, I think it's mostly just through your lungs.
Yeah, and I would, that's my understanding as well. Obviously, you don't want your body covered in smoke, because then obviously you have the ability to eventually inhale that, obviously. But your skin is less permeable to the smoke in that way, Chris. But anywhere that you're getting it on your skin, you are in essence breathing that air, and we want to avoid that as best we can.
And I mean, I agree with that. It's the inhalation. So for instance, people have said, like Dr. Sudan says, you can eat barbecued food. It's not the food or the barbecue or the smoking.
Yes.
It's the food. It's the problem. But you just don't want to be there while it's being cooked, because you're inhaling the fumes, the smoke. It's a reactive oxygen species from the smoke. That's the problem that you're inhaling.
Would it help to wear masks out in this?
N95 masks are highly recommended. Yes.
Yeah. So the better the mask, the better the protection there. A simple mask is better than no mask. And as Lisa said, you want to be aiming for that K95 mask if you can. Please, where you feel that's wrong.
It's Bo again. And I would say, I think a lot of us got kind of used to wearing whatever mask is most comfortable with COVID, because of like, oh, now we're vaccinated, now we're this and that. And I think this is one of those areas where, sort of, if you've got a mask that's good enough where you're not smelling the smoke, then that means it's probably fitting pretty well. And that's probably doing.
Yeah, but excuse me for butting in, but that's not true. They talked about that today on a number of different news programs with respect to what's going on in New York City right now. And N95 is the only mask that will prevent you from inhaling that smoke.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
But it has to be an N95 mask. N95s weren't meant for the commercial medical industry. They were meant for workers outside in an environment like fires, etc. So if you're going to wear a mask in this scenario, you've got to make sure it's an N95. Forgive me for butting in.
No, please.
That's what I've been told too. N95 is what I've heard for years, long before we all got used to masks. So I do think N95, as was just said, is the right choice.
Anyone else going through smoke or have smoke in their area and or past experiences like Megan that want to share?
I would say I'm sure there's a lot of folks here. I mean, the last stats I said is roughly a third of the United States is under advisory because of the current smoke. I know there's some very dense populations here on the East Coast being not only under these advisories, but under them for the first time ever, which is unique or to this level.
It's also happening in Canada too, just so you guys know.
Exactly.
Yeah, this is John in Central Washington State again. I saw a current map, and Washington and Idaho are in this strange shadow where we're not affected by it at all. And like the rest of North America is. And I feel so thankful for that. And I feel sorry for the people that are suffering through this.
It's funny because San Francisco's in the green and I want to go back there now.
Yeah, I know several people from up here in the New York City area who looked into trying to get away somewhere, but there are fewer areas than we'd like that are considered safe right now. So being inside rather than trying to get to those train stations and airports was the recommended idea from what I've heard from folks. But
yeah, that's what our family decided.
Are there thoughts on how to deal with this in a more pronounced way? I don't mean to get into predictions, but this is something that we will probably have to deal with more often than just this one time. I'd love to think this is the one time this will happen, but that's likely not the case. Are there ways that others who deal with this more frequently tend to prepare for this in a way that we can do so?
I think, Andy, to that point, it's more of just preparing your house and the place that you live in to making sure it's as safe as it can possibly be. So, you know, newest windows. So if you have older windows, replacing those windows, making sure that you have HEPA filters, on air purifiers. So I think that's right. The only thing that's come to mind with me over the last almost 5 years.
I know several different offices are dealing with this in a different way. I mean, my wife works for gyms that have upgraded all of their ventilation systems, but the issues with those upgraded ventilation systems, a lot of them rely on circulating air from the outside. So they're having to deal with this in a very unique way. My office is dealing with the same thing, trying to find the best way to deal with it here, as this is something that what was best for COVID, what we prepared for there, is not the same as what's best for this. And the same is true of our homes where we're circulating air in a different way and ventilation isn't necessarily what you want in this case.
Hi, this is Jerry and Paul, and we live in California, and Paul was affected at a similar time, Megan, because of, we think, some of the bad wildfires here. And we actually have a contingency plan with other family and friends that if wildfire season starts to look like it's going to be bad, we'll leave. And then we'll come back when it's over.
You have a contingency plan of folks that you would go visit and stay with, is what you're saying, Jared?
Yes. Got it. And they know to expect us during fire season if necessary. But the last fire season, those plans weren't in place. We didn't really know it was going to be as bad as it was. And Paul literally never left the house for like 2 weeks. I wouldn't even let him go get the mail.
Yeah.
He was in the house with his HEPA filter the entire time.
So, hi, this is Casper. One thing I struggle with regarding just like keeping the windows and the doors closed, I live in an apartment where it's like a new construction. So it's not a leaky house. I mean, like apartment building. So if I close the doors and close the windows, the carbon dioxide just like builds up and I end up feeling like slightly basically dizzy if I'm trapped in here for too long. So the idea of just like closing myself in here without cracking a window open just doesn't seem like a good idea either. So I'm trying to like, I'm having trouble finding the right balance of the filtration staying, you know, locked up, but also not suffocating myself.
In that case, I would definitely try and purchase an air filter.
That's the thing. The air filters don't remove carbon dioxide from the air.
Yeah, it's more focused on the particulates there.
Yeah, it's for particulates, not actual gaseous compounds.
Do you have a carbon dioxide alarm?
Yeah. I have several sensors throughout the apartment. That's actually kind of... I work from home and I ended up noticing that at the end of the day, I tend to felt more sluggish and like drowsy. And so I ended up getting this carbon dioxide monitor and I noticed that like at the end of the workday, it was like over 100 parts per, over 1,000 parts per million. And that's not recommended. So I just keep an eye on it just for my own health. And now with closing my windows because of the smoke, it tends to build up into like the high thousands. So it's a tricky thing to balance.
Yeah, I mean, and this is, again, not professional advice here, Casper, but I mean, maybe getting in, like you're opening your door to the rest of the apartment building and gathering more of that air that's not from directly outside.
That's not a bad idea.
Maybe... as good as opening your window to the outside is what, how I would approach some of that. I've noticed that, I mean, the air in the stairwell of my building that I live in is not nearly as smoky as if I were to crack a window here.
I'll keep that in mind. Thanks for sharing.
As we approach the top of the hour, I do want to make sure I get a chance to turn off the recording in case folks have any other remaining questions they wanted to ask outside of the recording. But are there any other specific questions related to this issue here? Well, Jessica, what do you say? I go ahead and get the recording going and we can continue the conversation with any other topics folks have on their mind.
Yeah, really quick before we turn off the recording to continue that conversation, I do want to kind of highlight the calls that are happening for the rest of June.
You're one step ahead. I was bringing up the email, so good job.
Oh, sweet. Yes. First time ever. All right, perfect. Let me kind of jump into the calls that are coming up for the rest of June. Just a heads up on, or for your information, there was a LH1 affected teens call that happened yesterday. So that was Tuesday, June 6th. So if you did miss that call and you want to jump in on the next ones, please let us know how we can, keep checking those emails. They always come out before the first of the month, but and let us know if we can help with anything for that. Next call coming up is LH1 Southwest Connect call. That is actually tomorrow, and that is at 8 p.m. Eastern. Next
call is Southwest.
Thank you. Oh, what went through my brain just then was, why are they putting East Coast time for a Southwest call? Thank you. LH1 Southeast. Thank you. After that is the LH1 Texas and nearby states, and that's on Monday, June 12th at 6 p.m. Central. Next one is LH1 New England Connect, and that's on Tuesday, June 13th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. Definitely take note of that. It's a change up in time. LH1 Affected Young Adults, and that call is on Wednesday, June 14th at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. Next one is LHON New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. And that one is on Thursday, June 15th at 7 p.m. Eastern. Please take note of that as it's a different time. LHON Midwest Connect Call, and that is on Monday, June 19th at 7 p.m. Central. Also Juneteenth. Next call is LHON Southwest Connect. There we go. And that is on Tuesday, June 20th at 7 p.m. Pacific. Oh, wait, there's more. Next call is Dads of LHON, and that's affected kids of all ages. And that is on Wednesday, June 21st at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. Next call is LHON Assistive Technology Call, and that is on Monday, June 26th at 5 p.m. Pacific. Whew, and that is a wrap for June, jam-packed month. So quick shout out to all the leaders that are hosting all those calls for the upcoming month. That is amazing. Thank you very much.
The last couple of things to highlight here, just logistically for folks, LHON conference again, June 29th in Charlotte. As Maria said, show up. You can sign up that day if you need to, but I would encourage you to sign up as early as you can. It's at the, I'm not even going to try to tell you the hotel. It was on the recorded part of this call. And the next thing that I will say again is that we are shifting our July call 1 week. So it'll be the second Wednesday, same time, same phone number, everything else remains the same, but it is July 12th. Lisa, I didn't hear you tell me that is a bad idea. So we're moving forward with it. July 12th instead of the 5th. Give folks almost 2 weeks after your LHON conference before we reconnect with this whole group. With that, I'm going to get the recording turned off so we can continue the chat.